let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
We're talking about our vision and how God wants us to wake up and how it's not enough to just go through life on autopilot anymore. That God is going to start requiring just a little bit more from us in this new year. And He has a vision for us, and He has a plan for us, and He has a purpose for us, and He has a direction which He wants us to go individually and as a church. And if you weren't here last week, get those notes, because it lays out some things that I really believe that I want to see us as a family here accomplish this next year. And so you'd be praying about that and working towards that. And so without a vision, people perish. And if we don't have a clear direction from God where we need to go, we will dry up on the vine and die. And we'll be like the vine that's pruned and cut, the branches that are cut off. You know, Jesus said in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me, my word abides in you. Many times, though, we want to disconnect from the vine and go somewhere else. God has called us to hang on to the vine. And when we get a clear vision from God for our life, a clear path on which way we need to go and which direction we need to take, that's when we're truly hanging on to the vine. That's when we're truly connected to God. I don't know about you, but in this new season that we're in, I want to be truly connected to God. I don't want to be off in left field. I don't want to be off in some crazy direction that God hadn't even called us to. I want to be truly connected to God. And it's through practicing the fundamentals that we were talking about right before this series that we become truly connected to God. Everything that we're going to be talking about last month and over these next couple of months all flows together about God's divine plan for us and how we can accomplish it and how we can go forward with a life on purpose. Because that's what God's called us to. He hasn't called us to merely exist. He hasn't called us just to live life just going through the motions. When we're in Walmart, we just go through the motions. We just walk down the aisles and just grab stuff, put it in our cart. By the time we check out and get home, we don't know what we bought. We're like, where did that Snicker bar come from? Well, I'm glad it came. I'm hungry up here, y'all. So we can talk about food for a little bit. But we can't live life on autopilot anymore, because it'll be just like that trip to Walmart, and we'll blindly go through life just putting things in our car, putting things in our spirit, putting things deep down in us that God has never called us to, never connected us with, never drawn us towards, all because we're just going through the motions and just grabbing whatever comes along. Offense comes along. Yes, I'll take that. Depression comes along. Yes, I believe I'll have 2 doses. Debt comes along. Well, I believe I'll take that too. And we just blindly go through life just taking on anything that the world has to offer. And God is saying, stop it. Live life on purpose. Don't let life happen to you. You must happen to life. It's time to wake up, get up, show up, and be present in our own lives. And not just go through the motions. Many times in our walk with God, we just go through the motions. Well, I wake up and say thank you, Jesus, when I'm in the shower. And then I go to bed and say, now I'll lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. And then I wake up the next day, Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name, amen. And then I eat my cheeseburger. And then come around Sunday, well, I guess it's time to go to church. Get up, get in the shower, come to church, come sit here. Yeah. Oh, they played my favorite song today. That was nice. And, well, that was a nice message. And, okay, time to go home and eat. And before we know it, months has passed by. And what have we done for God? Before we know it, a year has passed by. And when we stand before God, how will we give account for that year? You know that song, What Have You Done For Me Lately? What have we done for Him lately? How are we spending our life? How are we stewarding the things that God has given us? So last week we talked about how we needed to grab a hold of vision, how we needed to seek out God's vision for our life, how we needed to pray for purpose and direction and not just get caught up in good things, but get caught up in the God things. And we're going to talk about that in the weeks to come when we start talking about saying our best yes to stuff. But Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 says, therefore he says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine and make dawn upon you and give you light. So what is he saying to us? He's saying, wake up! You've been asleep far too long. You've been on autopilot far too long. Look around at the world. Time is wrapping up. Revelation is unfolding right before our eyes. Get up, wake up, it's time to show up, it's time to tell others, it's time to reap the final harvest. It's time for the last great shaking of the world. That's what God is saying to us today. Arise from the dead. Let go of the past. Don't get so caught up in those dead things in your life that you become suffocated by them. And we talked a lot about that last week. How if we drag everything that ever did happen to us from the past with us, we will suffocate and it will choke the very life of God out of us. God has called us to have and enjoy life, and we can't do it dragging around dead things. That's what buzzards do. They drag around dead things. Now, if I ask you this morning, how many of you want to be a buzzard? That's your life goal. I want to eat on trash. I want to eat dead things. I want to drag them around with me. I want to get in all that muck and all that nasty stuff. You look at me like I was crazy, like some of you are doing right now. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. Our lifelong goal should not be a buzzard that circles dead things. How many times in life do we circle dead things? We circle experiences from the past. We circle bitterness from the past. We circle offenses from the past. We circle and we do like the children of Israel and round that mountain one more again. God's calling us to wake up, to get up, to show up and be present in our life. Quit circling the dead things. Let the past go. Yes, the past hurts. But it's in the past. Don't come dragging it out on every occasion. Let the dead things go. Arise from the dead. And Christ will shine upon you and give you light. He's saying, let the dead things go. There are better things than what happened yesterday. There are better things ahead for you than what happened yesterday. And even though the times will get dark and the things in the world are becoming dark and you look around on the news and you can't help but know that Jesus is coming soon, you see what's happening in the Middle East and the persecution of Christians. North Korea, I think it was, had 5 Christians who were killed because they had possessed a Bible.
Yes. That's right.
We're so insulated in this country.
That's right.
And we don't realize the times and seasons that we live in.
That's right.
And we can't drag ourselves to church, much less read our Bible at home. And there are people who are being beheaded just because they have a Bible in their backpack.
You tell it, Kel.
And I know that sounds hard and preachy and all that, but sometimes we need hard and preachy. And I'm talking to myself, too.
Me, too.
It's time to wake up. It's time to know the times and seasons that we're living in. It's time to get off of man's calendar, man's way of doing things, and man's kingdom, and get into God's calendar, God's way of doing things, God's kingdom. Because in his word, he laid out the end from the beginning, all wrapped up in Genesis and all the way through. And he's told us to be alert, and the signs to watch for. And the signs are among us.
That's right.
A comedian a long time ago, here's your sign. Well, here's your sign this morning. It's all through the Word. We need to be aware of the time that we live in and wake up. And even though we are insulated in this country, we need to not just look at line of sight. Remember, we talked about that last week. Verse 15, look carefully how you walk in Ephesians 5. Look carefully how you walk. Don't just look at your line of sight, because line of sight doesn't let you see the big picture. Line of sight doesn't let you see God's path for your life. All line of sight gives you is trouble. When you look at things in your line of sight, it just looks like trouble half the time. I don't know about you, but there aren't too many times when you look up in life and things look perfect. And if things look perfect all the time in your life, I want you to come up after this service and tell me what you do. But that's when we believe the Word of God instead of what we see. That's when we walk by faith and not by sight. That's when we get God's perspective, because when God looks at things, He doesn't look at line of sight. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees the whole picture. He sees that just because you go through this thing here doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. And just because times are hard doesn't mean that He's not going to provide in it. The Bible says there is no temptation common to man that He has not already made a way of escape from. Look carefully how we walk. Live purposefully, worthily, accurately, not unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. God has called us to be wise, sensible, intelligent people. And we don't need to build our intelligence on the foundation of man. We need to build our intelligence on the foundation of the Word of God. Because man will lead you astray. Man will mess up. I will mess up. You will mess up. People will fail you. Your puppy dog is going to fail you. But God never fails. And His truth is the absolute truth. People say today there's no absolute truth. They are wrong. The absolute truth is the Word of God. People say that this is a bottle of water just because we agree that it's a bottle of water. That's being relative. We can agree that it's a bottle of water, so that's what makes this a bottle of water. No. It's a bottle of water. Just like when the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means everybody messed up. Everybody needs God. There is an absolute truth. And it is the Word of God. And we need to live towards that. Live purposefully, lining our life up with the Word of God. Not looking at just what's in front of us, but getting a vision like we talked about last week. Seeing a bigger picture. Getting God's view, His perspective. Because things that look like mountains right here look like nothing to God. So we can't look at what life looks like right here. We'll get scared, we'll give up, we'll get stressed, we'll quit. But when we get God's view of things, then we see that there is a way forward and He has a path for us to follow and we can walk. Verse 16, making the very most of the time, bind up each opportunity because the days are evil. God wants you and I to make the most of our time, the most of our life. And time management is not in my wheelhouse of things that I do very well. I like to procrastinate. I say I work better under pressure. But in this new season, we are all going to have to make the very most of our time. Use our time wisely for the kingdom of God. Jesus is returning. Let's not waste any more opportunities. Let's get our house in order in this new season. And let's live our life on purpose for the kingdom of God. So this morning, I want to talk to us for a few minutes about walking in excellence. Getting our house in order and walking in excellence. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, thus saith the Lord of hosts, set thine house in order. God wants us to get things in line. My dad, before he passed, what he kept on saying over and over to me is, we need to get things organized, we need to get a plan, we need to get a way forward, we need to make our priorities, and then we need to work our priorities. Those were the things that he was talking to me over and over and over. We must get organized. We have to get organized. We have to get things in order. We have to get things prepared. We have to get a way forward. And it's true even now, 5-6 months later. It's time for us to set our house in order. It's time for us to work our priorities, to make our priorities in life and then work them. To set is to put in a particular place, position, or posture. To establish, to plant firmly, to establish for other people to follow. To prepare for use. To adjust according with a standard. That sounds like the Word of God. To become firm, solid, or permanent. And God wants us to set our lives in order with His Word. To place our lives in a particular position. To plant firmly, to establish so that others might follow, and to arrange our life and prepare it for use. That's what God has called us to do. To adjust our life according to His standard instead of trying to adjust God to our standard. And many times that's what we do with God. He'll be moving on us to change something in our life, and we'll say, but God, you know, I'm not really doing anything that bad. This isn't really like sinning. I'm not going out and stealing. You know, I didn't go out and kill anybody this week. We ought to all be thankful for that because, you know, opportunity struck. Don't tell me y'all don't think like that sometimes. But God is calling us to not try to adjust Him to our standards, but to adjust our life to His standards. To put in order means to be in conformity or obedience to establish authority and a customary mode of procedure. And God in His Word has laid out a mode of procedure for our life. He's established authority. He's written out what we must do to conform to His Word. God wants us to get in line with His daily operating procedures and live in excellence. And when we're talking about living in excellence, what we're talking about, you can also substitute the word character. Having character, being a person of integrity, doing things to the very best of our ability. Philippians 1:10 says, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless. So with heart sincere, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling or causing others to stumble. So God wants us to approve and prize what is excellent. Think about this in your everyday life. Do you do things to the very best of your ability? Or do you do what my dad always used to call a get by? You know, when I get in there and clean the bathroom and scrub on that toilet, most of the time, and cleaning is not my own thing or my gifting from the Holy Spirit. And I can do it, but, you know, you just scrub at it. Do we do that in life when God asks us to clean something up in our life? Do we just kind of scrub at it and say, okay, I'm done? Or do we do it with excellence? God has called us to walk in excellence and have integrity in every single area of our life. He's called us to be people of our word. When we speak our yeses and noes, are they really yeses and noes, or are they, I'm tired of talking about this, so yes. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. God has called us to walk in excellence. 1 Peter 2:15, for it is God's will and intention that by doing right, your good honest life should silence, muzzle, and gag the ignorant charges of ill-informed criticisms of foolish persons. Do you have people in your life that like to speak about you a lot and it's not always positive? The Bible says the way to silence that is to not give them any room to talk. Do right so that your good, honest lives will muzzle ignorant charges and ill-informed criticisms of foolish people. If you're doing right, people don't really have much to talk about. If you and I are making right choices and right decisions, it doesn't matter what somebody says. They're going to be like, well, I know that person. That's not true. God requires that we do right. What is doing right? Doing the word of God, living by his commands. Matthew 5:48. You therefore must be perfect. Mean I gotta be perfect? Look at this. Growing to complete maturity of godliness in mind and in character, having reached the proper height in virtue and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. So when we're talking about being perfect as God is perfect, we're talking about growing in godliness, growing in character, growing in integrity, so that we do things right the first time and we do them to the very best of our ability, and when we say something, we back it up. When we pray and when we ask from God, we expect him to back up with results, right? Well, we are his image on this earth. And so when we speak, we expect God to be true to his word. We expect him to honor what he's written in the word of God. So when we speak, if we are his image, his child on this earth, then we should honor our word. Then we should, when we speak, we used to be able to shake a hand with somebody and it meant something. Now you have to have a 500-page contract notarized with all kinds of attorneys, and then you don't even have an agreement. It used to not be so. Why? Because we as a people were people of our word. There are some things in the olden days that I don't want to return to. And yes, I've used an outhouse before, so don't tell me I'm too young to know any of that. I don't want to return to that. I like my electricity and my internet. But as far as moral character and integrity, I wish we would return to that. To where when people speak, it means something. And we're not just speaking for the sake of being heard or for the sake of saying words or trying to fit in with somebody else or say something just because we think that's what the other person wants to hear. In this new season, let's quit manipulating people with our words and just say what we mean and say it in love and say it with the word of God back. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us go on past the elementary stage in teachings and doctrine of Christ the Messiah and advance steadily towards the completeness and perfection belonging to spiritual maturity. Let us not be laying again the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism of the faith by which you turn to God. God wants us to move steadily towards completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritually mature people. When we grow up in God, it's not the same as growing up from the time you were born. You're going to grow whether you want to or not. You're going to get bigger. You're going to get older. You're going to get a few more miles on you, and that's okay. But in the spiritual realm of things, growth is a choice. We don't automatically grow up. I've met 80-year-old people that in the body of Christ, their pampers and huggies. And I've met 15-year-old people that in the body of Christ have moved on from all that. Growth in the body of Christ is a choice. It doesn't happen automatically. And so in this new season, we need to seek to grow up in Christ. And we do that by being excellent. Excellent in our time with God. Excellent in our prayer life. Excellent in loving others. Excellent in doing the things that God has commanded us to do. That's how we grow. We become excellent in all things. Look at Luke chapter 8. You know, Satan's plan for you is to choke out the word of God in you and get you so caught up in being busy and so caught up in life that you can't walk in excellence. Luke 8:14. For what fell among the thorns? This is the parable of the sower, where Jesus is talking about how they went out and sowed the word. And what happens when people hear the word on Sunday morning, or when you listen to it on the radio or video or whatever. As for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not ripen or come to maturity or perfection. So what happens here? These are people who hear the word. Who hear today and like, man, I'm going to walk in excellence. I'm going to be a person of my word. When people ask me to pray for them, I'm just going to stop what I'm doing and pray. I'm not going to say I'm going to pray and then not do it. I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. I've heard the word of God and I'm going to line up my life with it. Woohoo! So here we go, off on our day. And we go to work and stuff happens. And we get phone calls from home, and the kids are happening all over the house. And then we get home, and we see what happened when the kids happened everywhere, and we get frustrated. And then somebody else calls with another thing, and then we got to take this person here and go get here and then order pizza, and then it's 2 hours late because we didn't know that we had to call 3 hours in advance before we wanted dinner. And all this stuff happens. And we forget what we heard. And we go back to our habits. We need to hear, then make it a habit. Hear, then make it a habit. Hear, then make it a habit. And if we just let life happen to us and we live in autopilot, it doesn't matter what we hear, we will always gravitate to the ways of the past. God's calling us to change this year. He's calling us to something different. And if we want to be different, we got to do different. If we want to be different, we got to do different. And we can't allow the anxieties and cares and pleasures of life to just choke out everything that God has told us. You mean I can't have fun? I can't have any pleasure? No, nobody said you couldn't have fun. I like to have fun. Have fun this morning. I had fun yesterday. I'm going to have fun this afternoon. But we don't let life just completely overwhelm and take over. And we don't get so wrapped up in our schedules that we allow our schedule to become our God instead of God being our God. God has called us to walk in character. And only in God's divine peace can we do that? Because if we overschedule ourselves, and I'm getting weeks ahead of myself, but if we overschedule ourselves, our schedule will take over and we'll be schedule-led instead of God-led. And that's not God's divine plan for our life. That's not a life in excellence. God doesn't want our schedules and our things that have to happen to be our God. He wants time to invade. He wants time to take over. He wants elbow room to work. We got to be excellent in our love. 1 Peter 2:15, show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity of which Christ is the head. Reverence God. Honor the emperor. So God has called us to show respect for all people and treat them honorably and love them. And that's different than saying, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord, honey. No. Do we really have compassion for people? Do we have genuine compassion that moves us to show God's love to them? Agape love. Love that no action can quench. Because people gonna give you a reason not to love them. But again, God hasn't called us to walk by reasoning. If we walked by reasoning, we would have quit a long time ago. Poked our head in the sand like the ostrich, stuck our honey in the air and said, let it be. God has called us to come up higher and not walk by reason, but walk by the word of God. And he said, love your enemy. He said, do good to those that despitefully use you. He said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when we do the commands of God, we do them out of love for God and love for others. And when we love people, it doesn't need to be out of obligation. Anything that we do out of obligation is worthless. Anything that we do out of obligation is in vain. Well, I gotta go love them. Can't stand it. Let me go over here and love on them. I've had that conversation with myself. If you take off your halo, you probably have to. God has called us to have genuine love, not fake love. We gotta quit doing fake. The church is very good at doing fake. And that's why we drive so many people away, because we got our fake smiles with our fake I heart Jesus and our fake this and fake that. God wants us to be people that are honest, people that are real, really loving God and really loving others. Excellence and obedience. Hebrews 13:17. Ooh, the children at school know this one. Obey them that have a rule over you. And submit yourself. If you've got kids, you know, tattoo this on the wall. Put it in their bedroom. Obey them that have a rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch over your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that's unprofitable for you. God has called us to be obedient to those in authority over us. We don't have to like the actions of those in authority over us, but we still have to be obedient. When David was in the process of becoming king, he did not like what was happening. He had lots of opportunities to kill the current king. He even cut off the bottom of his robe one time just to show him he got real close. But he didn't, because he honored and respected the office that the man had. With our bosses, with people in authority over us, we may not always agree with their actions. But that's not a session for gossip. That's not water fountain or coffee bar, you know, chat. We respect those in authority. We listen to those in authority unless they're asking us to do something clearly against God's word. And we pray for those in authority that they will be God-led and make God decisions. because God can move the hearts and minds of kings. We need to have respect for those around us and be obedient to those in authority over us. Excellence in faithfulness. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, encouraging one another. And all the more faithful as you see the day approaching. We need to come together as community of believers even more as we see that day approaching.
Amen.
We were talking about last night how we need to come together more as Life Church family. We need to, and not just to do, you know, Bible study and whatnot, and that's good, and we'll be doing some of that, but just to come together and have a community of people that you're close to where we're just not people that we bump into each other at Walmart. Oh, yeah, you go to church. You go to church. You sit on like the third row back on the second seat. Yeah, I see you. But we have people that we can encourage, that we can lift up, that we can love on, that we can build up and study God's Word together and grow in God together. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God has called us to be faithful. If we say we're going to do something, back it up. If we say we're going to be somewhere, back it up. Ooh, my dad, he would. If you committed to do something, you were going to do it. It didn't matter what you had to move to make it happen. You spoke it, and it shall be so. God has called us to be faithful. Luke 16:10. He that's faithful in which is least is faithful in much. He that's unjust in the least shall be unjust in much also. We wonder why we're not moving forward in the things of God. I would encourage us to check our faithfulness in the little things, because we can't grow until we get good at doing what we're supposed to do right now. You don't give a 5-year-old a vehicle and say, okay, honey, head to Walmart for me. They've got to grow up a little. They've got to get good at the bike with training wheels. And then they got to get good at the bike with 2 wheels. And then you do a lot of praying. There's a process. Don't get mad at the process of growth. Don't get mad at the process of change. Don't get mad when our toes get stepped on and we feel the urge to do a little better. You don't get a Ferrari overnight. You don't get a Pinto overnight, you know? There's a process. So get good at the tricycle. And then you get something on training wheels. Be faithful with what you got now. Make the very most of what you have now before you're worried about having anything else. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. God has made us stewards over this earth. He has given us things to manage here on this earth. And one day, we will give an account to him for how we did with what he gave us. And what we did with what he gave us. It's required of students that we be faithful, worthy of trust, a person of character, a person of integrity, a person of honor. So we have a vision, and a vision is great. And it's great to know where you're going. And a vision will get you there, but character will keep you there. You can have a vision all day long, but unless you have the character and excellence to back it up, it's nothing more than a wish. It's nothing more than a wishbone. There's no backbone. Character and excellence are the backbone of any vision. And you won't get there unless you have the backbone to do the work to get you there. And character and excellence are the support. They're the backbone. They're the thing that keeps you going when it looks like everything is falling apart. They're the thing, the Word of God and your excellence to study it and show yourself approved, and your character to live by the commands of God are the thing that will drive your vision forward and make it happen. A vision without excellence and character to work the Word of God is nothing more than a wish. Let's break our wishbone. I always wanted to crack those, you know, Thanksgiving. Let me get the wishbone. Go home and crack your wishbone. Get yourself some backbone. And do the work that God has called us to do. And that comes through excellence and character. Be excellent at work. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. He wasn't qualified to be over the whole realm. People were like, who's this Daniel? He's from another nation. He isn't even one of us. You gonna put him in charge of everything? But the king saw excellence within him and set him above everybody else. Even though he wasn't qualified, even though he didn't go to school for it. If we have an excellent spirit and we are excellent in our character and living out the commands of God, and we're excellent in our boss, with our boss in the workplace, other people will see that and wonder what's so different about you. And then that opens God doors where you can share your faith. Well, what's different is I live by the Word of God. I choose to be excellent because I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And then you can start a conversation that will lead to repentance. All because you didn't take the post-it notes home like everybody else. That's stealing. No, that ain't stealing, that's a post-it note. My employer can afford a post-it note. All you have to do is say, hey, can I take these post-it notes home? I bet they'll probably say yes. And I know that's such a little thing that we don't think anything about. But remember, it's those little things that build and become big things. One day it's a post-it note, next thing it's the Snickers bar. Like my dad always used to say, don't swap hop. If you're going to do something, do it right. Yeah, but nobody sees this. Well, it doesn't matter if anybody sees this. The very one who created the universe sees all things. And so we need to be excellent in all things. Hebrews 13:21. Strengthen, complete, perfect, make you what you ought to be, and equip you with every good thing, that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever to all the ages. Amen. So be it. So that's what God wants to do. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to complete you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to make you what you ought to be. He wants to equip you with every good thing. Why? Why do we have prosperity? Why do we have giftings? Why do we have strength? Why do we have grace? Why do we have the ability and holiness to be holy? Why do we have the equipment? The only purpose for all of that is at the end of the sentence, that you and I may carry out his will. That saying, we are blessed to be a blessing, you have to where you can carry out His will and give. You become complete so that you can carry out His will and help others get to that completeness. He equips you so you can carry out His will and do His commands and His way and His work on this earth. We have all of that. Why? So we may do His will. It all comes back to living to make Him look good and carrying out His commands on this earth. That's the whole matter of it. The vision that we have follows His will and carries out His commands on this earth. The excellence in the character and the integrity that we possess carry out His will and carry out His vision for this earth. It all goes back to Him. Everything in life goes back to Him. Well, how can Governor Reyes go back to Him? Well, God opens doors for you to minister in Reyes, for you to speak to people. You may think you might be going for potato salad and a smoothie, you know, one of those frosted cokes. But God knows that there's somebody there that needs Him and needs you to be the door opener to connect them, to connect them with God. We can have vision all day long. We can have a plan. We can even have God's plan for our life, let alone what we want to see, what He wants to see done in us personally, in us as a church. But unless we have character and excellence, that vision is a wish that will never be fulfilled. We need the vision, but then we need the strength and character and obedience to be the backbone that drives that vision forward, that holds it up, that gives it its skeleton. Character, obedience, integrity, that's the skeleton of God's will for your life. And it will drive and move your vision to success and completion. It will drive and move the plan of God to success and completion in your life. It takes being people of character, people of excellence, people of obedience, people of integrity. Not out of obligation, but out of true love and passion and desire to please God.
Amen.
Not because we feel like we have to, but because we desire it more than anything else. Let's stand. God, thank You for letting us be here this morning. God, thank
you. Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.